God bless you all for being here this morning. As you already know, we're following our James series called Walking in the Faith and Wisdom of James. We finished chapter 1 and chapter 2. Today we're looking at chapter 3. And James chapter 3 starts this way. If you've got your Bible, please turn to James 3, 1 to 12. James 3, 1 to 12. The title of this sermon is Taming the Tongue. That is what it starts with. James 3 starts with taming the tongue. So that's what we've called it this morning, taming the tongue. If you go to your Bible, please turn to James 3, 1 to 12. Or alternatively, you can read from here. We've divided it in two parts, from 1 to 5, and we'll continue from 6 to 12 on the next slide. Okay, so from 1 to 5, it reads, it says this, "Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits in the mouth of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water." Father, we just pray and we ask of you to be with us this morning, Lord, as we go through your word. Our Lord and our God, we ask the Lord that you speak to us through this word. Let it transform our hearts, Heavenly Father. May we receive your word in humility, Lord God Almighty. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, let's start. I think we all know what it means when James talks about the tongue. But I think, you know, just to be clear, he's not literally talking about our tongue here. He's talking about our words, the words that proceeds out of our mouth. Our words carry power. By our words of confession of faith in Christ, we are saved. By our words, also, we share the gospel and lives are touched and transformed by our words. By our words, we express our deepest feelings of love to our partner. By our words, we can communicate a vision that would arouse passion and encourage people and stir them into action by our words. By our words, a discouraged person can be given hope and comfort again. All of these examples do not take from the fact that actually our actions are necessary, but it shows or it points to the fact that our words are powerful. They are powerful. Equally, our words could be used to tear down rather than to build up. It could be used to encourage the wrong things rather than the right. It could be used to mislead. It could be used to deceive others. Our words are powerful. I'll give you an example of how the words of someone was used to lead me astray or to deceive me. I remember when I was in sit form. You know, I thought I was like, I was a bad boy, yes, you know. I could do whatever. No one can tell me what to do. And at that time, I came from school. I was walking home. And as I was walking, I saw these two guys in the car. And as they were driving past, one of them shouted, "Oi, mate, do you want a laptop or a camera?" And they showed me the camera. And I was thinking to myself, yeah, I can do with that. So I went and I sat in the car with them. And they were talking to me.
And from the way that they were talking, it seemed like, you know, they had gotten it from the wrong means. They had probably stolen it and they just wanted to get rid of it. So that was how it came across, that they just wanted to get rid of it. They made me feel like I was in a place of bargaining power. You know, like I could tell them, I could give them a price, and that's it, I would go with it, I would have it. That was how they made me feel. So as they were talking, as we were all talking, they said I should make them an offer. I said, £50. And this was when laptops had come out. You know, it was expensive. It was hundreds of pounds then. And the camera as well to go with it. I said, but honestly, £50 was what I had because I was a student. I was working part-time. You know, I was doing just a few hours in a week, really. I was working in Next at that time, and I think I was getting £5.30-something. So it wasn't even much. And so I told them 50. They said, no, you can't have this for 50. So we talked, and they said 80. I said, okay, 80, yes, I can. That's my max, 80. And I went out to the cash point to get the money. As I got the money and I came in the car, as I sat there, it seemed like their whole mood had changed. They didn't want 80 anymore. They said, you know what, it's not enough. They can't sell this for 80, so maybe they'll try someone else. That's what they said to me. And the guy took the laptop and put it in the laptop bag. He took the camera and put it in the bag, zipped it up, and he said, nah, we'll try our luck somewhere else. So I got down from the car, disappointed. I took a few steps away, and the guy shouted, oi, come and get it. So I rushed to him, gave the 80. I didn't want him to change his mind, and took the bag, and they sped off. And as I was walking with the bag, I realized that, man, this bag is really heavy. So I was thinking, oh, I looked at the bag. It was dirty. It was tattered. It wasn't the bag I saw in the car. So I thought to myself, surely not. I opened it up, and it was two bottles of water that was in there. Two bottles of water. I don't know what was worse, not having the laptop and the camera or buying two bottles of water for £80. I mean, you know, it was, that really affected me. But how did I arrive at this point? I was young then. It was through the convincing power of their words they spoke to me. And yes, they deceived me. But also, it was for my selfish desire in it. Their words sounded convincing. They just wanted to get rid of it. They made me feel that way. And I fell for it. Because although I thought I was a bad man, I was young and naive. I didn't know. Since that time, anything from a car, forget it. I'm not buying it. Even car boot sale, I won't even go close. You know? That's where I am at the moment. But what I'm saying is the power of our words. So why should we bridle our tongue then? Why should we control our tongue then? Why? One, because it ruins lives and reputation. It ruins lives and reputations. It could ruin lives and reputation. In life, it is rare for success to come overnight. We know that, unless you win the lottery. It is rare, even that, we can talk about it. Is it really success? You find people that win it and then they do all sorts of things with it because they lack character and integrity, and they lack the ability to actually use it wisely. So as I'm saying, in life it is rare for success to come overnight. Often, it takes years of hard work and consistency to build a business or a good reputation. We know that. See how long it takes to build some houses. With advances in technology now and others, it takes months, 8 months, 9 months. I heard that some years ago, you know, when those big cathedrals were built, do you know how long it took them to build those cathedrals, those big ones? Some took 20 years. Some took 30 years. Some people start building it and they die and their children are the ones who come to build it. It takes years to build. Years. But on the other hand, if you want to tear it down, how long does it take? How long does it take? It takes seconds, minutes, hours. If you have the right equipment, you can tear it down quickly. Quickly. The thing is that a person could build a good reputation over years. They could have they could be constant in showing integrity over time. But let someone spread a rumor about them. Let a gossip be said about them. And within a matter of days or months, that which they had built for years could be in ruin. The power of our words, it could affect that. The thing about rumor or words that are spoken about someone is that it spreads quickly. Spreads quickly. Sometimes good things don't spread as quick, you know? But actually, it seems like people, we are all interested in the negative. Oh, this person did this person, and it excites people to know the gossips. Even celebrities and stuff, when things happen, people are eager to buy from those things because they want to know what's going on in other people's lives or what has happened in their lives. The thing about rumor is that once it is spoken, once the word comes out of your mouth, it is also out of your control. You can't stop it. It is like wildfire. But just like the Chinese whispers as well, rumors or gossips evolve, often becoming far worse than when it had originally started, making the effect more damaging. You hear someone say something, by the time you hear it on the other side, it's something mega, you know? And we all know that. Because people sometimes interpret things differently. They communicate things differently. And some people get excited about things and they add bits to it. By the time you hear it on the other side, it is big. The effect itself is damaging. It's like wildfire. You may not get close enough to someone that you have a problem with, someone that you just want to, you know? You may not get close enough to do that. But by your words, you can surely knock them out and ruin their lives, no matter how far they are. Words are powerful. But as Christians, as brothers and sisters in Christ, as a church, we have not been called to ruin lives, no matter how much we don't get along with the person. We have been called to build lives and to bring hope and wholeness. Yes, we will be frustrated sometimes, but let us also remember that our words are powerful and could leave a lasting emotional scar on people. Two, why should we bridle our tongue? The second, why? Because it affects relationships and could bring division. It affects relationships and could bring division. Proverbs 16:28 says, a dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisperer separates friends. A whisperer separates friends. Our negative words do not only have potential of ruining lives, it also breaks down relationships. If you have heard that someone you thought was a friend or a brother or sister have said something negative about you, although it could be true or false, what happens is that it affects the way you perceive that person. Even though it could be false, but it affects the way you perceive that person. And the thing about it is that unless the issue is resolved, you can't really, the relationship that you had before can't really be mended. And even when it is resolved, it takes time before that relationship is mended again. It takes time. I remember a few years ago when I was in school, there were these two girls who were very close friends. You know, in school, they were very, very close friends. Always walking together. Coming to school, they came to school together. I don't know if they met at each other's homes before they walked in, but they always walked in together. At lunchtime, they were together. Home time, they were together. A few years ago, I spoke to this girl who's now a woman, and she told me, I asked her, you know, because of that relationship that they had, they were very, very close friends. So I asked her, that your friend, you know, how is she doing? Oh, you know, we haven't been friends for a very long time. I said, why? What happened? Because she did this and she said this about me. So for a very, very long time, they have not been close friends because of something that was done and something that was said. And I'm telling you, if you will not believe it. Because I remember them as people, they always walk together. So when I spoke to her, the first thing that came to my mind was, how is that your friend? How is that your friend? They're no more friends because of what was said. Marriages often face breakdown, not always because of what was done, but also because of what was not said, or what was said and how it was said. We know that people are married here, they've been married here for years. I'm not the one to give advice on that. You know, but we all know that communication is essential in marriages. You communicate well with your spouse, you communicate well with your husband or your wife. And sometimes it is often because of what was said. Maybe someone reacted, and because someone had to just hold their peace for a bit, for things to move on, they said something. And through that, things have escalated because of what was said. To this, the writer of Proverbs says, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." Harsh words stir up anger. Our words are powerful. It could affect relationships. It could bring divisions. Why should we bridle our tongue? Next. Because we will be liable for what we say. We will be liable for what we say. Have you seen some of the crime investigation series where a police officer arrests someone, and what do they say to them? You all know. You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in the court of law. I actually think that they took that from the Bible, honestly. I think they took it from the Bible. Listen to this. Matthew 12, 36 to 37. This is what Jesus said. Jesus said this, "But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." By your words you will be justified. By your words you will be condemned. This is a hard saying. It is a hard saying, but the thing is that the Lord knows the power of our words. He knows the power of our words. You know, we're looking at the negative of words. Is because the reason why we're looking at the negative is because James wrote a lot about the negative. So we just want to go deeper into the negative. But when we look at the positive, we know that our words can touch lives. It can bring hope to people. It can comfort people. Right? But on the other hand, our words could be damaging as well. And God knows that. When you go to prisons and you ask, you know, why are you here? For most people, on the surface, it looks like it is because of what they did. They stole something, or, you know, they did something bad. But actually, when you dig deeper, it is because of things that have happened in the past. You know, maybe broken home or something like that affected them. But also the words that were spoken to them. Oh, you amount to nothing. Oh, you good for nothing. Oh, this and that. And those words could create their reality. It could be a shackle for them. I'm not good enough. Whenever they put them in a place to perform, they feel that, no, others can do better. I'm not good enough. Those words hold them back. And the Lord knows this. And he says that we'll be justified by our words, but also we'll be accountable for the words we have spoken. This does not mean that as Christians, that's it. You bury your head in the sand and you say, hey, I'm in trouble here. The Lord has called us that as Christians, he would have mercy on us. So if we know that we've done any of these things, this is not a word of damnation that you are going to face this judgment. It's actually a word to encourage us to turn to the Lord, to repent and receive mercy. Ask for forgiveness and receive mercy from him. Amen? Amen. The fourth, why should we bridle our tongue? Because there's wisdom in it. There's wisdom in it. Proverbs 13:3 says, "Whoever guards his mouth preserves his life. He who opens wide his lips comes to ruin." Comes to ruin. It gives me a picture of some of the politicians. You know, some of the politicians, they change what they say depending on, you know, what the move is at the moment. You know, the way people are feeling at the moment. And sometimes when you look at some of these interviews with politicians, you realize that the person interviewing would say, actually, in 2008, you said this. But actually, but in 2007, you claim you are saying this. What is happening here? They opened wide their mouth before. They kept saying whatever would flatter people before. But now they have to give an account for it. And it says that if you want to preserve your life, hold back. Proverbs 17:28, I like this one. It says, even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent. When he closes his lips, he's deemed intelligent. Brothers and sisters, there's something that communicates maturity and wisdom when we guard our lips or when we are silent. When we guard our lips, we understand the damage our words could have. And therefore, we control what and how we say things. The thing about silence is that it controls the wildfire of rumors or gossip. If a rumor comes to you and you are silent about it, the fire is quenched with you. It doesn't go further. It's held back with you. That's the thing about silence. The only thing, problem about silence is that whilst it helps to stop the wildfire, it does nothing to reverse the damage. That's what silence does. It does nothing to reverse the damage. So if you want to reverse the damage, the truth must be spoken in place of the lie. Yeah? So if you're silent, you hold back. If you're silent as well, the person does not know what you're saying. Does not know if you're saying yes or no. It is good. In his commentary, William Barclay said this. He said, James is not for a moment saying that silence is better than speech. He's not pleading for a Trappist life where speech is forbidden. That's not what he's saying. He's pleading for the control of the tongue. He goes on and he says, Aristippus the Greek had a wise saying. He says, the conqueror of pleasure is not the man who never uses it. He is the man who uses pleasure as a rider guides a horse or a steerman directs a ship. And so directs them wherever he uses or he wishes. If you're in control of pleasure, if you're in control of what you're doing, how to enjoy yourself, if you want to relax a bit, you can have a glass of wine. You can relax, but you're in control of how much you take. But when that pleasure, when that desire is in control over you, then you've got a problem. That is what he's saying. James goes on and he says, Barclay goes on and he says, abstention from anything is never a complete substitute for control in its use. It's not a complete substitute for it. James is not pleading for a cowardly silence, but for a wise use of speech. He's not saying that when someone is talking negative about the Christian faith, you should not. Your silence would help it. If you see someone being abused, if you see injustice taking place, you should be silent about it. That is not what James. James is not saying that. What James is saying is that we should be wise in how we use our words. He's not pleading for silence, cowardly silence. Next. So now how should we use our words? How should we use it? James goes on and he says this. He gives us an illustration. He says, for every kind of beast and bird or reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives? Or a grapevine produce fig? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water? The summary of this, what he is trying to say here, the main point of what he's trying to say here is, he's calling our attention to the fact that we are now children of God. We are children of God now. We're not only children of God, we are also, in the Greek word, doulos of Christ. Doulos means a slave or a bond servant. I've mentioned this before. Okay? We're not only children, we're actually, when we say Jesus is Lord, Lord is, he is master over our lives. We belong to him now. We don't just belong to ourselves anymore. We belong to him now. And the thing about it is better to be a slave of Christ and to live a joyful, righteous, and fulfilled life than to be a slave of the devil and to live in sin and misery. We know that. But the whole point is, if the Lord, if Jesus is our Lord and Savior, it means that we are set apart for him. We are set apart for the Lord. Therefore, our words must also be sanctified and set apart for the Lord. Our words must be sanctified and set apart for the Lord always. Our words must be spoken for the kingdom. Our words must bring healing and comfort to others. Our words must bring unity, not strife or division in our family, our relationships, and in the body of Christ, the church. Our words must be sanctified. The same way an apple tree cannot bear lemons is the same way that being in Christ, being set apart for Christ, our words must be spoken to build, to bring life, to bring hope, to bring restoration and renewal. Seems like a hard message, but I like this part of James. This is what James says. He says, "For we all stumble in many ways. For we all stumble in many ways. And this is grace. So yes, we might get it wrong sometimes because we are humans and we are saved by grace. Yes, we might get it wrong. Yes, the odd words will slip out sometimes. The truth of how you feel about someone or a situation will slip out sometimes. But the thing is, let us be quick to reflect on it. Let us be quick to realize our wrong and correct it. Let us be quick to forgive and move on. Let us not just be quick to judge. Let us bring and bear each other in love. Because while we are called to be sanctified in our words, we all still stumble in many ways. We all still stumble in many ways. But don't forget, let's not make an excuse out of this to say that we all stumble in many ways, so it's okay. Our words are still powerful. They could ruin lives and reputations in a moment. They could break down relationships or bring division. They could make us look unwise or immature. But ultimately, God will judge every idle word spoken to tear down or ruin. We need to be aware of that. So let us use our words to build, to restore, to bring unity, to bring hope, to share the gospel, and to defend the faith. Amen. Amen. Shall we spend a moment to just reflect on this word and pray? This morning, the Lord is here. The Lord is here this morning. He's speaking to us, myself included. Let us bring it to him right now. What have we said over the past few weeks, over the past week, over the past few days, even today, that may have hurt someone? Let's think about those things right now. Let us reflect on it right now. Let us bring it to the Lord in prayer. Let us ask him to bring healing in our lives. Let us ask him to bring restoration in our relationships. Let us ask him to bring hope where we have spoken. And it seems like misery rather than hope. Let us bring it to the Lord on this day. And if you want to repent, if you want to ask for forgiveness, this is the time. The Lord is here. Spend a moment with Him now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for all that, Lord, you have done. We thank you, Lord God Almighty, for speaking into our lives this morning. Our Lord and our God, in humility, we come before you, recognizing that, Lord, as humans, we stumble in many ways, especially in the words that we speak, in the things that we say, in the things that we do. And Father, while we have spoken life into many situations, while we have spoken hope, Lord, into people's lives, Lord, while we have taken the time to share the gospel to bring transformation for eternity, while, Lord, we have spoken hope and life, Lord God, where there seemed to be death, Father, we also know that we stumble in many ways. And therefore, Lord, we ask for your mercy this morning. Our Lord and our God, you are a merciful God. You are a kind God. And Lord, while you are a righteous judge, O Lord God Almighty, you are quick to show mercy. And therefore, we come before you, Lord, recognizing that you are a God of love and a God of mercy. And therefore, we come before your feet this morning, asking of you, our Lord and our God, have mercy and forgive us, Lord, of every sin that, Lord, we may have committed against you. Things that, Lord, we may have said, O Lord God Almighty, willingly, knowingly, or unknowingly, Lord God, we pray and we ask for forgiveness of sin. Lord, things that we may have said, O Lord God Almighty, not knowing the effects of it, Father, we pray and we ask for forgiveness of sin this morning. We ask of you, Lord God, to transform our lives, Heavenly Father. We ask of you to grant us the power, O Lord God, to know how to tame our tongue, we pray. We ask of you, O Lord God Almighty, be our strength, be our wisdom on this day. Help us know when to be silent. Help us know when to defend and when to speak. Help us know how to speak, O Lord God. In your word, it says that, Lord, if anyone lacks wisdom, they should ask of you, for you give freely. And therefore, we pray and we ask of you, O Lord, on this day. We all need much wisdom from you, our Lord and our God. Grant us that wisdom of discernment. Wisdom to know when to speak, how to speak, and the things to say that build up our Lord and our God. Pour your mercy and your grace upon us this morning. Come and transform our lives and our hearts for the glory of your holy name. Amen.